Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
What does it mean to walk with God? We hear a lot of people saying, I walk with God, or they walk with God. What does it mean? Genesis 5:24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's our goal, is that, praise God, we all know we're going to leave this world. Surely you're not foolish enough to think you're going to live forever in this present state. We all going to leave some way. Praise God, the Lord is going to take me. You know, the Bible said the beggar man that sat at the gate of the rich man, when he died, the Bible said the angels came and got him. Oh, I want angels to be my pallbearers. Amen. I want the Lord to take me, either in the rapture or however he desires. I want the Lord to take me, but that only happens if you walk for the Lord. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody, say, I walk with God. You may be seated. The Bible said Enoch walked with God. The Bible said Noah walked with God. And when we say walk with God, let me refresh your memory from last week. When we say walk with God, the best translation when you look at the Hebrew and the Greek, the best translation that you can say according to the Word of God is lifestyle. They lived a lifestyle pleasing to God. I said last week, this is not Robin Leach's lifestyle of the rich and famous. This is God's lifestyle, praise God, of the faithful, those people that are rich and faithful in the Lord. That's us. I'm pretty much persuaded that I've got a relationship with the Lord. Do you have confidence in your relationship with God? The Bible said, cast not away your confidence. Praise God, don't cast away your confidence. Don't ever cast away the idea that God loves you and that you love God. You're walking in relationship with Him. And so when it says Enoch or Noah walked with God, what it was saying is they had a lifestyle that was pleasing to God. And so I talked last week about walking in the Spirit. Tonight I'm going to be talking about walking in the light. I love this verse, and we all like it. We've even sang about it. There's a song about it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. When you read the scripture, it always becomes progressive. And so we say, oh, I want to fly. I want to run. But if you read this really in its right order, flying is great. Mounting up with the wings of eagles is great. Running is great. But the ideal thing is that you walk with the Lord and you don't ever quit. You don't faint. Why? Because that's sustainable. That indicates an eternal relationship with the Lord. And so if we're going to walk with God, we walk in the Spirit, we walk in the light. Next week, walk circumspectly, and the week after that, walk in faith. Let's talk about walk in the light. You know, when you think you talk about walking in the light, we always talk about the light as revelation, truth, the Word of God, Scripture, doctrine. And those are great things, but let's start where the Bible really enunciates this walking in the light. And that's John 11:10. St. John 11:10. But if a man walketh in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. Friend, we're living in the day. If it's not midnight, it's dark. I've never seen a time like this. I listened to Dr. David Jeremiah. You ever listen to Dr. David Jeremiah? I give you my blessing to listen to him. Now, he's not going to roll in the aisle or nothing. But that man is very, very truthful in what he says, very understandable. I love him. I've met him in person. He's a wonderful guy and a very sincere guy. And I just happened to see he was on my television in my office today, and he was talking about this relationship with the Lord and how it was more exciting than anything else that he ever tried in his life. And now he's an older man, and he said there's real excitement in living for God. And so he was talking about, We now tolerate things as a society, as individuals, that in your lifetime you never thought you would tolerate. But little by little, we're desensitized by the culture, by the media, by our peers. Things just happen to get worse and worse. We are living in the night. And so if you're going to walk, you're going to have a light with you. You can't wait and depend on the world to be your light, because the world is dark. And your light is going to have to be an inward light. I remember years ago, we took a bunch of people out to the HEB camp meeting, campground out here and way out there in the country, wherever it is. Where is that place? Out toward Fredericksburg or somewhere. Anyway, and so Lakey, that's right, out in Lakey. And we could walk in the river. The river was just beautiful, just about that high, and you could walk in it. And so we decided to walk in it at night. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. But we devised a plan. The plan was the guy in front would carry a flashlight. There's about 30 of us walking in the river at night. The guy in the front carries a flashlight. The guy in the back carries the flashlight. What could go wrong? You're walking on rock that is slimy, covered with green. It is slicker than ice. We hadn't been in that river 5 minutes until the guy in the back went down and the light went under the water. It was gone. No problem. We still got a guy in the front with the light. No, we don't have a guy in the front with the light. I'm the guy in the front with the light. And I'm feeling so good about everything. And I hit one of those slick spots. And here I went down in the water. And there goes the light. Now we're out there in the dark with no light. There are some situations that you just don't want to be without a light. And friend, I want to tell you, you don't want to be without a light in this world. Because this world is dark. But the Bible teaches us that we can have a light within. And so he said, if a man walketh in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. When I was in the old theater building many, many years ago, that's been 30 years ago now, I guess, we was in that old theater building we bought on Pat Booker, and it was kind of a neat deal for a while. But the thing about that building, it has had absolutely zero windows. It was pitch dark, day or night. Didn't matter what time of day it was black. And so I got up one morning, and I had a funeral at 10 o'clock, and so I got ready at my house, and I realized that the night before I'd left my Bible laying on the pulpit, on the platform, just like this. And so it was kind of a job to turn on the lights. You had to go up this little spiral staircase and go into a little box and turn those lights on. And so I just let the door shut behind me. But it's not a problem because I know this building. I've remodeled this building. I've built this building. I know where the chairs are. I know where the aisles are. It's not a problem. And besides that, I'm young and stupid. I'm like, I don't know how old. I wasn't very old. But I'm feeling really good about myself. And so I know this building like the back of my hand. Only it ain't the back of my hand. It's a dark theater. And so I run. I do not walk down an aisle like that. I run in the total darkness. Because I know this building. I know where that pulpit's going to be. I know where that Bible. I don't even need a light. Except some dummy has pulled a monitor speaker out in the middle of that aisle. I don't know that. I'm running full blast. And I hit that thing just about this high. Man, when you hit something with your shins, you talk about pain. Oh, pain. I'm telling you, when I got out to the light and pulled up my britches leg, my old legs was a-bleeding because I thought that I could run in the night with no light. I thought I could walk in the night with no light. You can't do it, folks. I can tell you, if you try to do that, it is going to be injurious over you. So he said, you'll stumble because there's no light in you. Then he said to the disciples, this is Jesus in Luke chapter 17 and 1. And I've always found this, I preached a whole series on this one time. I've always found this correlation kind of neat. I like to search the scriptures and find things that my mind does not correlate, but the Bible does. When I find that, I know I've got a lot to learn because I thought that I could connect the dots. And when I connect the dots my way, it doesn't make sense. But yet the scripture rightly divides it. I know that that's something that I need to work on in my life. And so when I used to talk about the light, I thought it was the truth about the revelation of God in Christ, the efficacy of the blood, being baptized, being saved, being filled with the Spirit. And so when I studied this 25 years ago, and I came on this verse, and there's some of the writings in 3 John that talks about it, it was just a revelation to me. Listen to this. This he said unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses, that means stumbling blocks, will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. He said there's going to be stumbling blocks. Somebody is going to put a speaker in the middle of the aisle because they know you're going to come for your Bible and they've got it in for you. No, it's just an accident. Everybody that offends you didn't mean to offend you. They just said your little girl was ugly and they didn't really mean that. They were just talking about how pretty their little girl was. They just said that your cookies tasted terrible. They didn't really mean that. They weren't trying. That's just a lie. People say hurtful things. People do hurtful things. If you're going to let all that affect you, my friend, you are going to live a wounded life. I don't want to live a wounded life. Every once in a while, I go out to the ranch, and man, I do all kinds of stuff out there, and I hurt myself. It's something that I'm going to get over. But for the next 3 days, I got a hand that's all banged up. I got a foot that's all banged up. And I know when it happens. Now I got to limp around. There's a lot of people that are so easily offended that they spend their life limping all the time. Everything somebody says just hurts them. You got to realize they probably didn't mean it. And if they did, their opinion don't count anyway. Anybody can't see how great you are? Why would you care what they think about you? You can't let these stumbling blocks affect you. Just let them go. Let them go. Bless them and let them go. But listen to this. This is what I was going to talk about. 1 John 2, verse 9. He that saith he is in the light. Now, all of us, they're not anybody. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and just make a fool of yourself. But there's hardly anybody to stand up here and say, hey, preacher, I am in darkness. I live in darkness. I love darkness. I'm a dummy. I don't know anything. You wouldn't do that. Every one of us in this building pretty much would say, I am in the light. I'd say that, Sister Glory. I'd say I'm in the light. Sister Glory, I'd say you're in the light. Brother Warren, I'd say you're in the light. We're in the light together. We've known each other a long time. Somebody say, oh, don't judge one another. You judge everything. What are you talking about? If you don't judge anything, just marry the first woman that comes down the street, the first man. You judge 50 before you got the one that you got, and then you said, I question my own judgment. No, no, no. We judge all the time. But listen to this. I judge that you're in the light. I judge I'm in the light. I hope you judge I'm in the light. But he that saith he's in the light, I say, I make that proclamation. I am in the light. And you make that proclamation. If you're a Christian, you claim that. But listen what it says. And hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. You can say, I'm in the light. You can be baptized. I met a woman one time in Corpus Christi. She was in Brother Hicks' church. She'd been baptized 77 ways. 77 times she'd been baptized. She just wanted to make sure she got it right. Forward, backward, every kind of name you could think of, every kind of confession, she was making sure she got it right. And so we can get baptized, and we can come to church, and we can write checks, and we can pay tithe. There's all kinds of things we can do because we believe, and we confess, and we say, I'm in the light. I'm walking with God, and so I'm walking in the light. But he said, if you hate your brother, you are in darkness. Your hatred speaks a lot louder than your confession. We love to make confessions, but your life out-confesses your mouth. Your life out-confesses your mouth. You can't have hatred. You can't have bigotry. You can't have racism. You can't hate people because of any reason, just because you don't like the way they look or whatever. Because if you do, the Bible said that you are in darkness. And remember what happens when you're in darkness? You stumble. Listen to this. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Did you ever see people stumble? When we talk about people stumbling, what are we talking about? We're talking about a obvious transgression against God. Talking about all the moral sins. All, you know, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lying, stealing, murder, vengeance, all kinds of things. But God said, if you will walk with me, and if you'll walk in the Spirit last week, if you'll walk in the light and you will love your brother, I will go in the theater building before you and remove the speaker supernaturally. So if you want to run in the darkness, you can, and there is no occasion of stumbling in you. And so let me just suggest this to you, that before you commit adultery, before you commit some heinous sin, before you turn your back on the gospel, before you abandon the church, before you deny Christ, that there has to come a spirit inside of you that begins to have bitterness and hatred toward your brothers, your sisters in the body of Christ. That's what the scripture says. So what he's saying is, even though those offenses might arise, there are people in the church and people you meet in life that are abrasive. God said, I will not let you stumble over that if you will love. He said, walk in the light and you will not commit these sins that are literally fatality in the spirit world. God said, I will protect you. I told you Sunday, I believe everything about the kingdom of God is supernatural. I believe it. I believe when somebody comes to the altar and repents of their sin, I believe it's a supernatural thing. I believe God takes their sins and flings them away. They're gone. They're totally washed away. I believe when you take communion, there's a miracle that takes place. You're in communion with the Lord when you take that fruit of the vine, that bread. I believe baptism is a supernatural thing. I believe the gift of the Holy Spirit is a supernatural thing. And so what I'm saying is, if you won't allow bitterness to come into your heart, God will remove the stumbling blocks and make sure you don't stumble to your own destruction. Now, you see people all the time, and I don't really have time to go in this, and I probably will, and if I do, I might have to finish this one up next week. But this is so vital that we understand this. I know three occasions. One of them was a national, and two of them were local deals. But they were all pastors. And these pastors were all wonderful people, wonderful ministries, wonderful churches. And so, they had a problem. And the problem was what I talked about Sunday, emulation. The desire to equal or excel your brother. A church across town was bigger, more talked about, more renowned, and it outgrew them. And they got bitterness in their heart, and they began to hate their brother. I know of this happening in a city very near here. It's a long story, but the bottom line is that this man that was a good pastor lost everything. He stumbled morally, and it destroyed him. My point is, it didn't start with the stumbling. It started when he hated his brother. Same thing in Dallas, Texas. Same story, almost identical. Same thing with people that you know, and I don't want to call names, but a friend I had, which was one of the most profound ministries I ever saw. And he told me, I will be the black Billy Graham of America. And he was well on his way until T.D. Jakes burst on the scene. And when T.D. Jakes burst on the scene, within a year or two, he had denied the faith. He was a friend of mine. I still love him to this day. He had denied the faith, reversed his course, made a fool of himself, lost his church, lost his friends, is totally in heresy tonight. You know why? It's because he got bitterness against Bishop Jakes, because he thought that Bishop Jakes was taking a position that he was going to inherit. Friend, these positions don't matter. What matters is, are you walking with God? That's what matters. It don't matter whether your church runs 100 or 10,000. It don't matter whether everybody say you're the best church, best preacher in America, or you're the worst preacher in America. That doesn't matter. If you're walking with God and God's pleased with you, you're not in a popularity contest here. You're just saying, I want to walk with God. And nothing is going to separate me from walking with God. And so the point is, you don't have to stumble and fall over offenses. When somebody puts a speaker out in the aisle, you don't have to fall over that. All you've got to do is to make sure that you don't have any hatred, any coveting. You do not hate your brother. You're not desiring their blessing. You're desiring your own. And God said, if you will do that, I will remove those stumbling blocks, and you can just keep walking shoulder and shoulder and hand in hand with me and the blessing of God. You know, Pastor Brandon and I just happened to say something wonderful about Pastor Hagee. And the reason this past Sunday in Matthew. And the reason why we said it is because we believe that. We was in the car going to Sausalito's today, our whole family. And that came up. And I said, I might be John Hagee's greatest fan. Because there's so much heresy out there. There's so many crazy things. And I pastored in the same town with Pastor Hagee for 44 years. And he just stands right there and preaches the gospel. Just keeps preaching the gospel and getting people saved. I just love the fact that I'm in the same town with him. But we said that. And there was a whole family here that was visiting because they had some friends that wanted to come to this church from Cornerstone. And they told Brandon, we just was amazed at what you said about Pastor Hagee. A lot of preachers don't feel that way. Well, they ought to feel that way. Every Christian ought to feel that way. We're not competing one against another. We've got a job to do. You understand there's 7.5 billion people on this planet, and a bunch of them are going to hell. We don't have to fight over people. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine in Austin, Texas the other day, and something came up. He said, I'm going to do so-and-so, and it was about another church situation. I said, hey, brother, I'm just not that desperate for people. And it offended him. Well, I'm not desperate either. Well, he sounded like he was, that he was going to try to solicit people to his church, to the hurt of another church. I'm just not that desperate, folks, because I just don't want to fall over one speaker in the aisle. I don't want to fall over no more. I don't mind banging up my shins. They will heal. They will heal. But I do mind breaking my covenant with God. That won't heal. Praise God. And so I'm going to walk in the Spirit. But I'm also going to walk the way God wants me to and walk in the light. And in order to do that, I can't hate my brother. I can't hate my sister. I've got to say, I'm forever man and woman going to heaven in the name of Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. He delighteth in his way. And though he fall, though he stumble over the speaker, he shall not be utterly cast down, but the Lord will uphold him with his hand. Now there are right and wrong ways of walking. You're either walking with the Lord or you're walking with somebody else. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. This world is awash with people that are making all kinds of confessions that they love Jesus, but they live like the devil. If you live like the devil, you probably don't love Jesus. If you're walking hand in hand with the devil, you probably are not walking with the Lord. You can't expect to shack up with the devil and expect for the Lord to pay your honeymoon. It's just not going to work that way. You've got to walk with the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Look what he said in Ephesians. This Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of your mind. This is your testimony. I do not walk as other Gentiles walk. I have been changed. I have been born again. I can't get it out of my spirit. We was talking about it today. I was talking to a pastor that called me today, and he was just talking about his church. And I said, brother, remember this. Remember this. You can get that church as big as you want it if you'll make the right compromises. But at the end of the day, you're going to be sorry you did. Make sure you stay true to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just enough to get a big house full of people, take in a lot of money, and people call your name. We are supposed to be leading people to walk with the Lord. Walk in the light of the Lord. And so our testimony is, we don't walk as the other Gentiles. And I was saying to the pastor, I am concerned. I've mentioned this several times lately, that so many people are not having a transformation in their life. I was a kid when I got saved. But even as a kid, it saved me. And it changed me. And it transformed me. And it transformed me today. We should be a different race, a different species, new creation in the Lord. We shouldn't worry about race. We ought to worry about species, and that is, are you born again? Are you a child of the living God? Are you a new creature in Christ Jesus? Have you been transformed? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are you the same old person you were before you came to Living Way 16 months ago, and you're just exactly the same? We ain't helped you none. We got your money. We counted your cute nose, but we hadn't helped you any. We are supposed to be preaching the gospel that will transform you, take you out of darkness and put you in light, praise God. Bring you from death into abundant eternal life. That is what the church of the living God. And so Paul said, this is your testimony, that you walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind. Everybody said, well, you know, I think so and so. It don't matter what you think. Get that out of your vocabulary. You need to get, if you're a real Christian, the Word of God says, the Scripture says, I know what the Bible says. Well, I just feel like, it doesn't matter what you feel like. Well, my opinion, it doesn't matter what your opinion. Your opinion is not one bit more important than mine. And mine is not worth anything. The only thing that is matters in my life and is worthwhile in my life is that I walk with the Lord. I can't do that outside of His Holy Spirit. And I can't do that unless I walk in the light. So he said, walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. Listen to this. Having their understanding darkened. It all goes back to that light. Their understanding is dark. They just can't get it. You know, I try to explain things to people and they can't get it. But that's not all. Some of you have great expertise in areas that I don't know what you're talking about. And you try to explain to me about your job or what you know or your education, I don't have the foggiest what you're talking about. My understanding in that area is darkened. Well, it doesn't matter whether you know all of those things or not. But the devil wants to darken your understanding, make your understanding blind, where you can't understand the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, that the whole world lieth in wickedness, and the only way you're going to be saved is by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one way. His name is Jesus. And the devil wants to confuse that. When you listen to brilliant people talking on television, and they're having these discussions and all kinds of things going on, and you can tell that they don't even have a clue about spiritual things, that their mind is totally darkened or blind. Having the understanding darkened, and this is what concerns me right here, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know what it is to be alienated from the life of God? That's a beautiful phrase for an ugly word. It's called hell. And that's not just a place in the next world. There's people living in hell right now. I'm just appalled. You know, most of the stuff that I experience, anything bad that I experience almost, is vicarious. I see it on television, see it in a movie, or somebody comes in and counsels about it. But there are people that are living in a literal hell. Why? Because they're alienated from the life of God. God is not only a good God, He's got a good life. God is not a miserable God, nor a sad God, or a pitiful God, or a weak God. He's a mighty God, a victorious God. And so His whole purpose of sending His Son Christ in this world was what? To bring us into His life. Because when you come into the life of God, we sing the song, the things of this world grow strangely dim because you are so excited. Some of you are living in a good place right now. Your life is good. But 10 years ago, it was terrible. You know what happened to that 10 years? You think about that occasionally, but it's grown strangely dim. Even though it used to be really bad, when you think about it, it's strangely dim. When you really get saved, the things of this world get strangely dim, and now you are in the life of God. It is a life without... You know, I don't care if you got $1 million in your pocket right now and you drove up in a new car and you're living in a beautiful house. The problem with that is it don't last very long. It's a few days and it's over. But praise God, when you get in the life of God, The great thing is, it ain't never going to end. It ain't never going to end. Praise God. What we call death for the child of God, what we call death is just a promotion. There is no death. God hates death. He is a living God. He said, I'm not the God of the dead. I am the God of the living. And because these people will not walk in the light, he said, they're past feeling. He said, they, because of the blindness of their heart, they're alienated from the life of God, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's where this world is. And when you look at that word lascivious, I just went to the Hebrew and got it for you. It means all manner of lust, a wanton and unbridled course of sinning, of giving themselves over unto. It denotes their voluntariness in sinning, the power of sin over them. They are being willing slaves to sin. They continue in sin, and thus they do in order to work all uncleanness, to commit every unclean lust, to live in a continued commission of uncleanness of every sort, with greediness, being like a covetous man, never satisfied with sin, always craving more sinful lust and pleasures, sins that are not natural. It directs you to Romans 1:20. Which it deals with homosexuality. He said all of this is lasciviousness because they will not walk in the light. Their eyes are blinded and they walk as Gentiles. But then he follows that up with this wonderful verse. And this is my testimony. But we have not so learned Christ. Oh, what a Christ I have learned. I've learned a Christ that is selfless. He literally will take my sin and give me his righteousness. He will take my burdens and give me his joy. He will take my death and give me his life. He went to hell so I wouldn't even have to visit there. Praise God. Somebody said, did he go to hell? Yeah, he went to hell for 3 days. Say, why did he go to hell for 3 days? So I would not have to go there. You have to understand, everything bad, he took it. He took it. He took it for me. Praise God. And everything good, that, oh, I've learned Christ. And the more you learn about Christ, the more you will love him. The more you will want to walk in the Spirit. The more you will want to walk with God. The more you will want to walk in the light. Because praise God, it's joy. It's unspeakable. It's glorious. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I'm closing. 5 steps to walking in the light. Number one, get your lamp. What does that mean? The kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise. 5 of them were foolish. They went forth to meet the bridegroom. The 5 that were wise and the 5 were foolish. They all went. They that were foolish took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. You have to take your lamp. You know, we like to just, and I see it all the time, just broadcast and blast and disintegrate the word religion. But the Bible talks about vain religion and good religion. Religion is the lamp. It's the container. It's your church. It's your works. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But it's a bad thing when that's all you have. When Tyler was just a little guy, and I've always regretted, he came to me, I had it on his phone, he had a sermon. I don't know how old he was, Brad. How old was Tyler then? We're talking about him like he's not here. 6 or 7, he said, Wolf Ball, he calls me Wolf Ball. He said, Wolf Ball, I got a sermon here on my phone. And he said, it's called Plugged In But Not Turned On. I looked at it, it was pretty good. And the reason I didn't let him preach it, I was going to steal it, but I never did get around to it. And so one day I said, you still got the sermon? He said, nah, I got raised up my phone. But I think about it all the time. Plugged in but not turned on. You know, you can have your religion is a good thing. In some cases, it's terrible in some cases. It's what bombed the Trade Center. But it's terrible. But it can be good. It builds all these hospitals in San Antonio. Methodist. There is, you ever hear anybody say, oh, they've got me in the atheist hospital. Nobody ever goes to the atheist hospital. They don't build hospitals. It's always a Methodist hospital or the Baptist hospital. That's religion. It does great things. But by itself, it's not enough. And the 5 wise went and they took their lamps. And the 5 foolish went and they took their lamps. But the wise did something the foolish did not do. They had their lamps, but they also took their oil with them. Religion is no good unless it's filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is symbolized in the Bible all the time. All the time it is symbolized as oil. And so the foolish took their lamps and they took no oil with them. And so if you're going to walk with the Lord, and if you're going to walk in the light, you got to get a lamp. Somebody said, well, I don't go to church. Well, you're in violation of the Word of God. Well, I don't pray. You're in violation of the Word of God. You say, I don't read my Bible. You don't have a lamp, is what you're saying. What you're saying is, I got oil, but I don't have a lamp. Well, I got news for you. Without the lamp, the oil ain't going to do you no good. And without the lamp, and the lamp without the oil, the lamp ain't going to do you no good. There's a reason why we come to church. But if we just come to church and sit and look at one another, that didn't do us any good. We got to get the Word of God out. What is the lamp? The Bible said that the Word is a lamp unto my path. The lamp is the Word of God. You've got to have the Word of God in your life. But that by itself, the Bible said the letter killeth, the Spirit giveth life. So that lamp will tempt you. You sit there and it's daylight and you know night's coming. You've got a beautiful lamp there and you say, Mama, when night falls, we'll light the lamp. So you deceive one another. We're not going to be sitting here in dark because we got a lamp. And then night falls, and she says, Papa, let's light the lamp. And Papa says, Mama, did you bring the oil? And Mama said, Papa, I thought you brought the oil. We got no oil. We in the dark. There's a whole lot of churches thinking Mama and Papa did it. And nobody's got the oil. Friend, I want the Word of God in this church. But I also want the Holy Spirit. Because when I preach the Word of God, it might be good word, but unless the Holy Spirit comes down and anoints it, nothing happens. But when the Word and the Spirit come together, that's when cancers fall off. That's when sins are remitted. That's when sadness is dispelled. That's when bondage is broken, praise God. That's where AIDS is healed. That's where cancers are healed. That's where lives are changed. That's where bitterness is broken. That's where families are reconciled and reunited when the Word and the Spirit come together. So if you want to walk in the light, get the lamp, get the Word of God. But also keep your supply of oil. And number three, relationship. Love your brother. You can have the Word of God and you can feel the Spirit of God, but if you're hating somebody in the back seat just over a car deal or because they cut you off in traffic or because they're a different pigmentation you are, whatever stupid reason you want to use to hate somebody, you're not going to walk in the light. You're going to stumble and bust your nose and lay there and bleed to death. See, it's a complete experience. It's to get the Word of God, get the Spirit of God, but then it's relationship with people. You can't be a hater. I've never seen such hatred. It's just crazy. Just crazy. You say, well, I'll tell you whose fault it is. Yeah, it's everybody's fault. I'll tell you who it is. You know, there's not one little group got a corner on this hatred. It's a name-callingest, most slanderous generation I've ever lived in. I can tell you that. I never seen nothing like it. People just hating people. What happened to the days when Ronald Reagan, which was an ultra-conservative, and Tip O'Neill, which was an ultra-liberal, could argue their positions and then go to dinner? We just got to do that. I mentioned it. Colin Powell said it well. When the guy that was an amputee stopped and changed his tire in Washington, D.C. the other day, he got in his car and he tweeted this. He said, we got to quit calling each other names and start taking care of one another. And that's exactly right. That's the only hope for America. We got to lay down all of these swords and beat them into plowshares, praise God, and begin to reap a harvest of God. When the Bible said, if we'll call upon the Lord, repent of our sin, hating your brother is a sin. Repent of that. So love your brother. I'm talking about what it takes. Five things to walk in the light. The third is love your brother. Number four, avoid the stumbling block. What does that mean? You've got to get where you're not so sensitive. Well, I'm just not going to take that. Why not? Well, I just don't have to. Of course you don't have to, but why don't you? There's people say things that hurt my little feelings all the time. I just get my little feelings, say, hey, feelings, let me fluff you up here a little bit. I'm not going to stop over that. I'm not going to quit over that. Guy said, he told me in Mississippi one time when I was a kid, I was preaching. He said, if you're a preacher, said, these woods is full of them, son. That kind of hurt my feelings. When I was 21 years old, I preached in Austin, Texas. And 2 years later, I came back and preached again. The guy said, man, you're a lot better than you used to be. The first time I heard you, all you do was rub your eyes like this. He said, that's all you did. That kind of hurt my little feelings. I could have started selling shoes, but I said, feelings? You're a little hurt. You're a little offended. Here, let me fix you up. Let me fluff you up like a pillow. You ever turn your pillow over in the middle of the night? Oh, you don't have to do that if you have my pillow. Don't go there. Turn your pillow over, get the cool side of the pillow. Sometimes you got to turn your feelings over and get the cool side of your feelings. There's when somebody says something ugly and critical, there's one or two things. Either they didn't mean it or they're ignorant. So why do you care? They either made a mistake or they're just downright ignorant to make that statement to you. So don't let the stumbling blocks take you out. Number five, closing. Keep your eye on the goal. Keep your eye on the goal. Hey, why did you come to church the very first time? Well, that's easy. My mother had me by the ear. Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you adults. Why did you come the first time? Because you won your lives. You become abundant, good. And back in your brain somewhere, you said, someday I'm going to go. I'm going to die, and I'm going to be saved. That's the goal. Abundant life and eternal life. And nothing's going to stop me from achieving those two things. I've already got the abundant life. Woo, I'm fat and sassy. The Bible said a good report makes the bones fat. I got the fattest bones in San Antonio. I'm living the abundant life. You know, I got friends. I've got one pastor friend. He's been on 3 cruises this year. This is the middle of March. He said, you want to go on a cruise? I said, are you kidding me? They got viruses on them planes. They turn over on their side. They cost money. I ain't cruising nowhere. Say, I just got it away. Get away. What you getting away from? When you get an abundant life, you don't have to get away. You got to get back. Woo! I like my abundant life. Ain't nothing better to me than Wednesday night with Luther. Praise God. Just love being with Luther on Wednesday night. Just love being with Janice on Wednesday. Just being in the house of God. Just having a good family, just praising God. Just turn on the news and saying, those people are wacko. I'm living in the land of Goshen. No matter what happens, praise God, I'm saved. I'm walking with God. And so I've got my eye on the goal. And once in a while, I glance off. I slap myself right alongside the face and say, straight on, buddy. Straight on. I got my eye on the goal. I'm living abundantly every day. And one of these days, stand on your feet. One of these days, I'm going to live eternally. Why? Because I'm walking with God. And praise God, I want somebody to be able to say at my funeral. Boy, you know, funerals are getting really small. I had come up with an idea the other day. I said, the next time we have a real big crowd at Living Way, I'm just going to announce, this is my funeral, and I'm going to have my funeral so there will be a big crowd here. And I'm going to say a lot of nice things about me, and then when I die, you can just do something else with my body because the funeral will already be taken care of. Seriously. When my time comes to go, if Jesus don't come to get me first. That's the only thing. I don't know whether Jesus is coming to me or I'm going to him. That's the only thing I don't know. One of the two is going to happen. But praise God, if you would lay me down in a box, I've already got it bought. Oh, it's the cutest little thing. I went over here to Colonial Funeral Home with my dad because my dad wanted to go pick out his coffin. And so Hardy runs it. And I said, Hardy, can I crawl up in my coffin? I bought one that day because my dad wanted me to, you know, kind of soften the thing. We're all going together, kind of. So I said, Hardy, is it all right if I bought one? It's real nice. It's already paid for. They're not going to have to take an offering at my funeral. That's good news for you. I said, Hardy, we bought one. I said, Hardy, can I crawl up in it and see how it feels? He said, of course you can. And so I didn't get to do that, but I wanted to. I wanted to just get in there and lay down and see how it felt, but they wouldn't let me over there. People prevent me from doing things I want to do. But the last point, was Pastor Sean, Pastor Brandon, Pastor Becky, Pastor anybody, I don't care, says, he walked with the Lord and the Lord took him. That's all I need to be said. He walked with the Lord and the Lord took him. Because folks, I'm living in the land of Goshen. I'm living in the abundance of the Lord. Can you give the Lord a big praise, a big shout? I'm through. How am I doing on time? Not very good. Hallelujah. If you're in this building right now, this is my altar call for you tonight. If you're not saved, you need to come and give your life to Jesus Christ right now. Because if you die without Christ, what did the scripture say? Said it in a nice way. Can't be offended by this. Alienated from the life of God. Spelled H-E-L-L. Alienated from the life of God. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord. You say, well, I believe I'm saved. Okay, let me break it down a little bit more. Are there any speakers sitting in the aisle of your life that you stumble over? Is there anything that's just stumbling? Just somebody. You just got some, that guy at where I can't stand him. You know there is a way you could probably get him saved, but you'd probably have to go. We talk about, oh, I'd like to go to another level. Oh, that's another level right there. It's when you get your enemy saved. You're at another level. There's somebody at work. There's a problem in your family. Stumbling blocks. You don't have to stumble over those. If you will walk with the Lord will go before you and move them out of your way. Let you walk, praise God, arm in arm with Him. If you've got something in your life that is causing you to cringe, something that's causing you pain, causing you a problem, it's probably stopping you from maturing and getting to the next level that God wants to take you to. I challenge you. You got to be a man or a woman. This is not for somebody that's weak. Just step out in this aisle and say, I got a little something here in my life that's keeping me from going to the next level. And I'm going to come down here right now and I'm going to make this commitment to the Lord. Lord, I want to walk with you. And if it means I got to love my enemies, God, I want you to change my heart tonight. I want you to change things in my life because, praise God, I'm not going to let any stumbling block cause me to fall and to lose out what God is doing. Becky is singing, I'm through. The hour is late, but it's not too late for you to walk down here and have a life-changing experience tonight in Jesus' name.